was egal. Real Abraham mit Mitzrayim. Hu bi ishtoi? Bechol ha-shaloi? Veloi imoi ha-negba. And Abraham went from Mitzrayim. Hu bi ishtoi? He and his wife, Bechol ha-shaloi, and everything that he had, all those with him. Veloi imoi, and Loi also came with him, ha-negba, to the cell. Rashi says, again, Hanegba, to head to the south of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's where they're heading towards Har Moriah. Okay, so what's the obvious question?
Lot is after V'ishto, before the parallel.
Huh?
It should say, Hu V'ishto Ves Lot, or...
Okay, maybe. Although B'chol HaShaloi doesn't have to refer to things. Refer to people also could be referred to as entourage,
yeah,
but okay.
Why say that before Lot?
Right, okay.
Well, it seems that Lot was last because he didn't really
want
to
leave.
You're
saying
his
stuff.
So let's see.
Stuff.
Okay.
Why does it say?
How big was
Sapphire? Like,
it doesn't need to say who.
He's like kind of reluctant to follow.
Oh, so it doesn't mean south. Very good. So Rashi says, very good. Lovoy the Droima to head to the south of Eretz Yisrael.
To head to the southern part of Eretz Yisrael.
Why does it need to say who? It could just say Vayal Avraham Mitzrayim Ve'ishto Hosherla.
Right. That's, if you look at the Sizchami, exactly address your point, Moshe Dorfman. Look at the Sizchami. Look at what you say. The Koshel Rashi to Avram Bedroim Hoya. Avram was right in the south. The Eretz Yisrael, the Droim Eretz Yisrael, because Egypt is south of Eretz Yisrael. It became Hoyleim Beal Avram Tzavina. So it says he's heading north. And then it means no. It means he wasn't. Yes, he was heading north, but he's heading to the south of Eretz Yisrael. So in fact, where says Droima is out of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Dorfman,
yes.
Put the glass down.
Where's my eyes right?
Well.
Or just one of them.
Okay. Says the Ramban. Who v'ishtoi v'chol ashaloi. Look at the Ramban inside. Lo haidia. Shaloi gazlu mimenu davar mikol hamatanois. Hagdoilu shenastan loi ba'avur sara shtei lamelech. Lo amru rimisanu umatana b'toisi. V'zem mais and nes. Interesting. Ramban says, what's the emphasis on the Chol Ashaloi? What does Ramban say? Chol Ashaloi?
Stolen from him.
What?
And power didn't steal everything from him?
They knew that he earned all of his things.
The Chol Ashaloi refers to all the gifts that were given to him. You think that maybe on the way out they say, hey, this you don't deserve these gifts. After all, the reason why you got them is because you fooled us. Right? No. It was a mice and ace, they left him alone. And it could be it's a mice of a silver button. When we left Berchush Gadol, the Mitzrayim let us go with all the Berchush Gadol also. The stomach that Ramban's referring to. That's the Maisa of Islam Banim. When we left Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim rather, we left Berchush Gadol, and the Egyptians actually, you know, let us take the stuff. Right? So it's L'chor, it's the Maisa of Islam Banim, just like they didn't take anything back, right? When we leave Mitzrayim, hundreds of years later, they didn't take anything back. L'chor, Ramban's referred to that Maisa of Islam Banim. L'chor, it doesn't say it, but L'chor is referred to that.
Why didn't Avraham give them back?
What?
Why didn't Avraham give them back?
Why
wouldn't
you?
They were gifts. They were gifts for a specific reason.
Well, actually, we will see.
He was in Avera, right?
What?
He was in Avera.
No.
No. He said it was kind of he said, well, he wasn't supposed to put his wife in this stuff.
So why don't you give him back? Okay, it could be two things. Number one is interesting. We will see later on, and I want to do more of that later on. When the same thing, similar scenario happens with Sodom. When Sodom offers him gifts, he refused to take them. Here he doesn't refuse to take them. And one of the reasons is because sometimes, now, in general we have an attitude called Sone Matonos Yechia, that a person should not be so readily accepting of gifts. In other words, doesn't mean once in a while someone gives a birthday gift. What it means is a person should appreciate being independent and want to be independent. If you live the life of Matonos, where constantly people are gifting you things, you lose your sense of independence, and not only independence, you lose your sense of self-esteem too. Sone matanos, that's what says the word yichya. Doesn't say it's a good thing. So someone like yichya, you're alive if you're a sone matanos. You're alive means you're your own person. You'll feel alive when you're your own person. When everyone's gifting, that's why people have and right a good pride. It's a healthy pride not to want to take gifts all the time, right? Sone matanos yichya. I remember my mother tells me a story that when they first arrived here after the war from Europe, So my grandfather, my mother's father, had a very hard time, like everybody did, making a living. And things were to the point where they really had come out nothing to eat. And they told him, they had told him earlier, listen, there are government agencies that will give you money. He didn't want to take the money. He said, I'm not taking any gifts. And finally got to the point where they said, listen, you know, it's a question of, you know, you can't, you have no money to rent an apartment, you have no food, you have to take. So he got the sum total, I think it was $40 or $45 a week, which in those days was considered decent money. It helped pay the rent, believe it or not. $30, $40 doesn't help pay for the doorknob for the house, right? But those days, right, it helped pay for the rent. So he took it, and he got a job. My mother said the first thing he did when he got the job was run to the agent and say, okay, I don't want to take any more. That's it, I'm done. That's the first thing. Today we call it entitlements. I'm entitled to this, right? It warps the whole sense of, okay, if you need to take, society's here to help you. We get that. But when you call it entitlement, now they're using that word because they don't make you feel bad. On the other hand, entitlement really conveys the idea that you're entitled, as opposed to, you know, understand it's a handout. We don't make you feel bad, it's a handout. But you should look forward to the day where you don't have to take it. So my mother's father, my grandfather just couldn't, right? You don't want to take gifts. You want to feel like you're alive, you're your own person. You want to be independent, all right? So today we've lost a lot of that sense. It's pretty sad. But anyway, so normally you don't take gifts. So why did Avram take the gifts over here when Paro offered the gifts? Why are you taking gifts? For two reasons. Number one, he did know that you deal with the mice of his Levana. He knew by taking gifts that would pave the way for later on B'nai Israel, you get gifts from Israel, from Paro. So he did that to pave the way. That's number one. My service. And number two, sometimes you take a gift not for yourself. Why do you take the gift?
The giver.
So the giver could feel good because they want to give you something. Right? So sometimes you take a gift because you want the giver to feel that they because the giver wants to feel good. And so when you take a gift, you're actually giving the person the opportunity to feel like a giver. When you take a gift, giving the person. Taking is an act of giving sometimes. Okay? So we'll get to Sdom. We'll get to Sdom later on why he didn't want to do that then. Alright? But for now, so he took the gifts for either two reasons. Either for my service in Lebanon, to make sure B'nai Yisrael will get that same Rechush Gadol later on. And, I'm not saying that they're mutually exclusive, because Paro was offering as a king, and he felt he should take the king's offering, you take from the king. Alright? Okay. Bottom line is, so Avram has this wealth, and it was a bit of a nace, so to speak, that nobody took it away from him. Okay. Pasuk Beis.
Maybe what does it say? Who? It seems kind of unnecessary.
That's a good. Yeah, Vayal Avram Mitzrayim. Who is? That's a good question. That's a very good question. What does it mean? Vayal Avram Mitzrayim. Who is? Yeah, it's a good aura. That's a very good aura. I like that aura. Don't know. Good, definitely good kasha. Uncle is talking, says it. But Azal, he said, I'm sorry. Who slick Avram Mitzrayim, who vitsa? He says who. He says who again. He does say, Uncle. He does try to say who vitsa. I don't know. Let's see. Yes, Brazil say anything? No? Also who vitsa? Good kasha. You know what? No good deed goes unpunished. Your assignment over Shabbos is to give me an answer, right? Find me an answer. Look it up someplace, all right? I don't see anybody talking about it here. And I would look at maybe look at a Malbim. Maybe he'll say something. You probably see more in Achrayna, but it's a good art. I'd like to know what it is. It's a very good kasha. Very good kasha. Good. I like the kasha. Vayal Avram Mitzrayim Hu V'Ishtoi. The light imay and light was with him, and it seems like almost like an afterthought. The light imay and light came with him. We'll see if he was an afterthought or not. Let's see.
Well, it seems that you want to see because if you look at it, the way the pasuk is, it says that he left with his wife and all that he belonged. So then it's saying stuff that belongs with Avram, meaning like his wife that's connected to him, his possessions that's all connected to him, Lotan that's connected.
Right. He's almost an actor, right? Exactly. The Lotimo sounds like he's tagging along. He's not really part of the main.
Right. So right. And that's why it's separate.
Well, see. Now, why is that the case? Why is he tagging along? That's why is it that he's like an afterthought?
Well,
He's the extra baggage, so to speak. That's what we're going to get to. The Avram Kaved Me'oid B'mikna B'kesu B'zov. Avram was, Rashi says, Kaved Me'oid means Toin Masoyis. He was weighed down by so much of the stuff that he had, right? Kaved Me'oid B'mikna B'kesu B'zov. He had tremendous livestock and silver and gold. All right? So, Boss is telling us he was fabulously wealthy. We discussed earlier that Avram, it was necessary for Avram to be wealthy because Avram, we'll see later, makes treaties with other kings, which is highly unusual for a private citizen to do. But Avram almost had the status of royalty himself. And that wealth gave him the status of power that other kings respected. It also gave him a sense of prominence. And therefore, he had a world stage by which to disseminate Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. So the wealth that he had was not for his own personal use, but Avram understood that it was supposed to give him prominence. And by giving him prominence, A, he's able to at least be a higher profile. And by being a higher profile, he's able to spread the name of Hashem more effectively. All right? But now, it's interesting. The Ibn Ezra says, and this is, you know, look at the Ibn, the Avram Kaved Me'oid. She yesh like kfoy the rabbah. Now, it could mean he had a lot of honor. All this stuff gave him great honor, prestige. However, it also means if you have a lot of wealth, to nuasa kfeida. In other words, he's explaining, he's not learning kaved meaning honor, although it can mean that. He had a lot of honor, a lot of prestige, right? Kaved ma'od, he had a lot of prestige. But that's not what the Ibn Ezra is learning now. He's saying, Umi sheish lekein tnuasai kveida. What does kveida mean? What is tnuasai kveida? Tnuasai kveida, anybody? What's a tnua?
Condition.
A movement. Tnai with an aleph and yud is condition. With an ayin and a hey, it means movement. Like nav and nod means to move. What's kveida mean? What's kveida mean?
Kveida.
Heavy. His movement was heavy. What does that mean? It was plodding. It was slow. Why was his movement slow?
There was so much to bring along.
Because he had lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Okay? Simple. So the word kaved literally means what? What does kaved mean? You know what does kaved mean?
Heavy.
And it also means wealth. Why? Because wealth can weigh you down. Right? People don't think of it that way. And he's not even saying that. But he's just saying the word kveda means, he's just pointing out, if you have lots of stuff, you move, you slow down, the process slows it down, right? But, right, that's what he's saying. So kveda means it was heavy, he had lots of stuff, and therefore he had to move slow. But what's really telling you is, people think the more stuff they have, the merrier. Not necessarily true. Sometimes having lots of stuff simply weighs you down. In a certain sense, you know, the Maral talks about this on Pesach. It's called lechem oini, a poor man's bread, right? Matzah called lechem oini. So, most people translate matzah lechem oini. Why? Why is matzah called lechem oini?
Because it's just flour and water.
It's flour and water.
It's cheap.
It's a poor man's bread because, like we say, halach manya, this is the bread we ate in affliction. It's a very cheap bread. It's flour and water, right? Maral says chas v'shol.
It's
very light.
It's easy to carry.
What?
It's easy to carry. It's very light.
No.
Filling.
No. Says the Maral, the reason why we have lechem oini and Pesach is not because it's a poor man's bread. Matzah is supposed to represent our freedom. You know why it's called lechem oini? Because a poor man, in a way, is freer than a rich man. What does that mean? A rich person has lots of stuff. And lots of stuff means lots of responsibilities, and it weighs him down. The poor man, not that we're saying we wish we could be poor, but there's an element of a poor person that allows more freedom. When you're not tied down to anything, you're free to move around, right? The poor person is free to move around. So lechem oini, the Maral learns, is a symbol of our freedom because it's not you have nothing else. So, but here the Torah says the opposite. That not the opposite, I mean the flip side of the coin. When you have lots of stuff, kaved ma'oi. There's a lot of, again, the simple shot in the pasuk is he moved very sluggishly and ploddingly because he had lots of stuff. I'm saying on a deeper level, that saying is sometimes lots of stuff weighs you down. We think, oh, more stuff can happen, merrier. But that's not necessarily the case. It weighs you down because you have more things to worry about. Marbe d'chassav, marbe d'ayis. The very famous story we saw Salanter, that they were obviously not wealthy people at all, and his wife decided she's buying a lottery ticket. They need to take the chance. They need to get some money. So Salanter heard and said, like, he went to himself, I'm telling you right now, if we win, I'm not responsible for any of that money. It's all your responsibility. What was he saying? He was saying, you can't wait to win. Because, oh, then you'll be free. You have lots of money. You have lots of money? Guess what? You have more achrayus. Who to give stuck to? How much stuff can I give? Are you using money wisely? Are you using it selfishly? There's a lot of achrayus that comes with it. It weighs you down. People think, oh, the more I have, the more free I have. The more freedom I have. Not necessarily. It comes with a lot of achrayus. Possessions and stuff comes with achrayus. So kaved ma'oid, ironically, even though the pasuk here just means physically weigh you down, but it's more than that. It weighs you down means it's an anchor. Lots of stuff weighing down, right? You're not free. You're not free to move around, right? And it means also mentally and emotionally, you're attached to those things. So kaved ma'oid has that double meaning. So wealth is called kaved. When you say somebody's wealthy, you say he's kaved ma'oid, which on the one hand represents prestige, but it also means it weighs you down. Because the Torah is saying, don't forget that. Morale, I think Morale used an example, I forget why and where. So if you have a sheep that needs to cross the river, so if its sheep has lots of wool on it and across the river, then the wool gets saturated with that water and it weighs them down, it drowns. Whereas if you shear the wool off the sheep first, he has something on it, then when he goes to the water, he's free to move. I'll use that muscle. I forget why exactly he used that muscle. But anyway, that's the idea of kavod ma'od. All right? Okay. So Avram, kavod ma'od, both. It weighed him down, but also was prestigious that allowed him a certain platform as well. And then, okay, and Sephardim says straight out, again, based on the Ibn Ezra, that kavod means, again, this again, I'm not getting away from the simple shot. The simple shot, kavod ma'od, means it simply was physically a lot, right? Kavod, it weighted down. And based on that, look what the Sephardim says. The Avram kavod ma'od b'migda, v'hutzrich l'snaya li'itoy. That Avram had to go very slowly. The pasuk, he really couldn't wait to get to the Makkah. He couldn't wait to get back to the Makkah Mizbeach that he built when Hashem had Nirela. Remember he built Mizbeach before he went to Mitzrayim? He couldn't wait to get back there. That's where he belongs. Back in Eretz Yisrael. But the Torah says he had to go slowly because he had lots of stuff. That's the pasuk pshat. Okay. Fine. Vayelech l'masov. And he went on his travels. It's a very strange expression. We'll see what Rashi does with that. Minegev, from the south, the Ad Beiskel, Ad Hamokam Sharisham Aholoi Betchila. And he went to that original place where he pitched his tent before he had to leave it Eretz Yisrael. Bein Beiskel Bein Ha'ai. Okay. So he went back. Says Rashi. So actually, you know what? Let's not see the Rashi first, because Rashi, this case, doesn't give you Pashat Pshat for some reason. Let's see Sephardim first. Vayelech l'masav, sheheim masah. Again, everyone's bothered by the word Vayelech l'masav. What's troublesome with that phrase? What's wrong with the phrase? If you had to write the pasuk, what would you write? Vayelech l'masav minega. What would you write? What? Somebody said it. What? What would you write? Right. Tell me the whole pasuk. Thank you. Vayisa minega. Very good. Vayisa minega. What's vayelech l'masav? He traveled minega. What's vayelech l'masav? Vayisa. Vayelech l'masav means he went l'masav with all his little trips. Vayelech, he went l'masav. Right? Vayisa means he went. L'masav means it's plural. Like implying stops along the way, stops and starts along the way. Therefore, this farmer says, Shehei Masa Haroyim. That's the way shepherds travel. What does it mean? Hanoisim Mokum Lamokum. They travel from place to place. Bichlois Hamari Mokum Rishon. What is Bichlois Hamari Mokum Rishon? What does that mean? What does that mean?
So we saw.
What? No. Bechlois hamare.
Oh. Bechlois?
What's chlois mean? Vayechula hashemayim. Lechalois. Okay, guys.
Create.
No. Bechalois. To complete. Vayechula hashemayim. Hashem cleared. So Bechalois hamare. What does that mean?
Seen,
well, also means to consume. Bechalois hamar makam rishon. Why does a shepherd move from spot to spot, guys?
Oh, because the grass
fresh.
Is gone.
Yeah, the grass is gone. So you have to. A shepherd moves from spot to spot. You graze in one place, no grass there. You move somewhere else. So be makam lemakam bechalois hamara. When the grazing was done in place number one, be makam rishon. They have to leave that first spot. Okay. So a simple pshat. He makes stops and starts, as every typical shepherd does. That's Sferno, simple pshat. Rashi, for some reason, doesn't do that. Look at Rashi. Vayel chlamasov, kishachaza min Mitzrayim le'eretz Kanan. When he went from Mitzrayim back to Kanan, Dorfman, pick up your head and look inside. Hayahoylech v'lon ba'achsaniyos shalon mehen ba'lichasel Mitzrayim. That when Avram went back from place, when he went back from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, what did he do? Hayahaylach v'lon b'achsanias. What does that mean?
Stay in hotels.
He stayed in the hotels. Shalon behem b'alichasal Mitzrayim. What does that mean?
Why did he need a hotel?
What?
Why did he need a hotel? Can he just set up his own tent and travel?
It means a place. Sometimes provide some water. Sometimes provide place. So what does it mean? Shalon behen bali chasal Mitzrayim. What does shalon behen bali chasal Mitzrayim? What does that mean? New.
He stayed on Mitzrayim.
What? Thank you. He went and stayed in the same hotels that he stayed in on the way down to Mitzrayim. In other words, if he stopped over at a Motel 6. He was at Motel 6, and he stopped over at Hyatt. Went to Hyatt. Whichever hotel he stopped in on the way down from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, on the way back up, same hotels. Why? Lematcha derech eretz. Does it teach you derech eretz? Etiquette. What do you think the etiquette is? What's the etiquette? Why? What's the etiquette?
That even though he's a lot richer now and he could have stayed at nicer places now, so he went back to the same places.
Nice.
Return to your host.
Nice. Okay, but that's an additional piece. Shalo yeshana oda machsan yeshaloi. A person should not change from his original host. Why not?
Why not? Because the person, otherwise it looks like they did a bad job.
Right, either maybe insulting to the host,
but
right?
It's also,
and also because
well now he's also now he's bringing a lot more color to them.
Well, hold on, we'll get to the second one. Akar's a tough. Thank you very much. If somebody hosts you on the way down, so then it's a lack of akar's tov on the way back up. It's akar's a tov. If you benefited from this hotel, you benefited. So on the way back up, you have to have akar's tov. Now you'll tell me, what do you mean akar's a tov? Benefit. I paid the guy full night's rent. I want to share with you a story. And in the summertime, I run a program in the summertime, and it used to be Reb Schwab used to come there every summer. Reb Schwab was the father-in-law of the one who started the program. And I got very close to, I wish I could say I got close to him, I didn't get to know him a lot, but I got close to his grandchildren. So I used to, from time to time, say, okay, tell me a story about Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. So he told me a story about my cousin that had a story with Rosh Hashanah. What was the story? Rosh Hashanah, after his Rebbetzin passed away, he didn't want to be matriach. Didn't want to be matriach his grandchildren to host him for Pesach. He went away for Pesach. And he went, you can't just go to any hotel. You have to be careful, especially kasher on Pesach. Be more careful. He went to Oppenheimer's. Oppenheimer's is a hotel in Fleischmann's, upstate New York. What?
It's closed down, isn't it?
No, it's not closed down.
It's still around.
Still around. It's a very old hotel, both in terms of it's been around for a long time, and B, in terms of its physical presence, it's quite an old hotel. And it makes Sinai look like the Taj Mahal. It really does. But anyway, but a lot of Gedolim and older people are very comfortable there. It also is a Yekki place. A lot of Yekkis hang out there because Oppenheimer's, the ones who run it, are Yekkis. So Schwab felt certainly very comfortable in Yekkiville. So he went to Oppenheimer's. Now, Oppenheimer's are my cousins. Oppenheimer's are my cousins. So, actually, Oppenheimer himself is not my cousin. Chashom, I should have a cousin, a Yeki. He married my cousin. All right? So, they're wonderful people.
Everybody's
right. Yeah, just about. They're wonderful people. His name is Ravi Oppenheimer, the son. They're actually wonderful people. Anyway, so, the Rishwab went to the Pesach, and his grandchildren said, okay, they begged him to come. He said, no. They begged him to stay with his house, and his house is with them. He said, no, I don't want to check anybody. So, okay, but someone's coming with you. They call him Opa. Opa is like German word saying grandfather. I used to call my grandfather, my mother's lived in Germany, Opa, but they call him Opa. I'm not sure, it gets too different. Anyway, that's a German way of saying grandfather. They call him Opa. I said, Opa, but someone's coming with you. No one's staying with you. You're not staying, you're not going to the hotel by yourself. So fine, he's masking. So that year, I think Nelson Schwab went. I think for a few years, Nelson Schwab was one of his grandchildren. He told me the following story. That after Pesach, as they're going home, or Schwab, thanked the host, thanked the hotel, fine. As they were leaving, finally, in the final, leave, he says, I don't think I really thanked them properly. Let's go back. Let's find them. So I think he was in a wheelchair too. He had tremendous arthritis, so he couldn't really walk. I think at the time, so they wheeled him, found the Oppenheimers. He said, I want to thank you again. It was so fantastic. It was wonderful. I really appreciate all the come there. Went on and on. So finally, after they're done, he wheels them back into the car. He says, oh, I got to ask you a question. We did thank them once already. And now you're going over the top and you thank them again. And bottom line is, we're paying customers. What are you doing? I still want to say thank you, okay? But you went anyway and made it like you laid it on thick. Why? We're paying customers. He's saying you're making a mistake. The Oppenheimers are Bali Chesed. They happen to choose the vehicle of owning a hotel so they can express their Chesed. In other words, now he was paying a real compliment to the Oppenheimers, because the Oppenheimers are really Bali Chesed. But in a certain sense, what he's saying also is, even when you're the benefactor of someone's Chesed, but you're paying for it, you still have to see yourself as the beneficiary of a kindness. The bottom line, he's always thinking, you're paying for it, it's true. It does not in any way diminish your responsibility for Hakaras HaTov. They're providing you a service. You're paying for the service, true. But they're providing a service, that's still called Chesed. And maybe the Chesed is bigger, you don't have to pay for it, certainly. But you still have to view it as a Chesed, and you still have to view it, certainly, even if it's not a Chesed, to view it as Hakaras HaTov. The bottom line is, this guy helped me out. I paid it for it, he helped me out, right? Let's say you're stuck, you have a flat tire, and right? And somebody stops to help you, and you say, I'm going to give you money to pay, and he takes the money. You still have to thank him. He still did your chesed. A person does things for you, whether you're paying him or not, you still have to view it as, if not a chesed, you're certainly the recipient of toiv from his level, and from him, and you have to be makir toiv. You have to be makir the toiv that you got. So Avram, yes, he paid for the achsanias. He certainly did. But he still had an achrayas to be makatoy. Okay? Very simple. So the fact that you're paying for a service doesn't mean you can't, or you don't say thank you. You give your shoes into a shoemaker. I don't think you guys know what shoemakers are. In the old days, not too long ago, if you had something wrong with your shoe, you give it in for repair. Today, you just toss them out and get a new pair. But there used to be something called shoemakers. They still exist. It's kind of a dying breed. But shoemakers,
leather.
What?
Yes, they work with their leather.
Right. You sew, rubs out. You went to a shoemaker. Right? You go to the shoemaker. You pay him $5 to fix the sole. Still say thank you. It's a big mistake. It's a common mistake in the secular world. But no, we all know that. Okay, that's number one. Davar achar. And this really may be what you're referring to. Another pshat. Bechasarosoi. Para hakafoisav. On the way back, he paid off all the loans. What does that mean? What loans did he pay off? When Abram went down to Mitzrayim, he wasn't necessarily wealthy. And maybe he paid, but he paid whatever rate he could afford to pay. Now on the way back, he said, listen, now that I have the money, I'm going to pay you what you really deserve. On the way down, I couldn't really express fully how much I appreciate what you gave me, Right? I guess maybe there wasn't even a standard. Maybe in those days, you stayed up with somebody and you pay what you could afford to pay. You know? And now we're next, you're not going to afford to pay more. I know somebody that, it's not just one person, that he got many tuition breaks from the yeshiva for many years because he couldn't afford to do more. And then he won the lottery. You know what the first thing he did was, I'm paying back all the back tuitions. They already exempted him. They already said, you got scholarships, you only pay $2,000 out of $8,000. No, but the bottom line is, it was an exemption. I owe you the money. Now I can afford to pay for it. It's a beautiful thing. A lot of people say, no, I got away with it, finished. No. So Avram feels, para hakafosav, I'm going to pay back now more. On the way down, I paid you whatever I could afford. I can afford more now. It's a beautiful thing. But you can understand para hakafosav on a deeper level too. Not only pay back his chov monetarily, but he has spiritual chov. What's a spiritual chov? When he went down, when he left Eretz Yisrael, and he went from place to place, you know, they were mocking him, whether openly or not. Avram, this is your God, the one that says go to Eretz Yisrael, and now what's going on? You're forced to go down to Mitzrayim? What kind of God do you got? He's taking care of you? Not taking care of you. He makes you schlep all the way from your birthplace, go to Eretz Yisrael, and now look at you. You got to schlep everybody down to Mitzrayim. What reason? Why he's forsaken you. He's abandoned you. What does Avram do on the way back? Not so fast, guys. You thought my going down to Mitzrayim was bad news for me. Look how it turned out for me. What happened to Avram on the way back?
And rich.
Rich. On the way back, he dafka pays.
He's
rich. A handsome sum of money to each place. Who's like, no, look, you know what? You saying this is really bad news, Hashem abandoned me? Look how it worked out for me. Look what Hashem really did for me at the end of the time. At the end of the days, this is my benefit. Look how much, and I'm going to pay you more now. So he's paying him more was, on one level, he felt in a crisis to pay the full amount. But on a deeper level, he's showing off a kid is Hashem. You think Hashem abandoned me? Look what Hashem did to me. Just the opposite. And we have an achrayis, Rabbi said, do that too. We have an achrayis anytime we can to show what Hashem has done for us. That's an achrayis that we have. We have an achrayis to show ourselves, our neighbors, look what Hashem's done for me. I'm so quick. Look what Hashem's done for me. That's why we have something called a suda saida, when somebody was, you know, thankful for the benefit they had. You make the suda. You show the world, not just for yourself, but for others too. You're supposed to invite others to the suda saida. Right? In fact, you all know, it's interesting, that there's a carbon taida, right? The carbon taida was a carbon that you brought when you went to give thanks to Hashem. It did something for you. Now the carbon taida was different than most carbonis, in that most carbonis, you had how long to eat it? 48 hours, excellent, guys, on money, excellent. The carbon taida, how long do you have to eat it?
48 hours.
24, very good. How come less time? So there's two pshat there. The one pshat is, if you have less time to eat it, then that means you need more people to come to make sure that the animal's consumed. That means you have to invite more people.
Yeah.
That means more people are going to know about the thanks you want to give to Hashem. So the purpose of shortening the time you have to eat it was to ensure that more people know about it. When something happens good to you, let the world know. Look how great Hashem is. Look how great Hashem is. Right? Sometimes we name children. Praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shvatim. All praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let the world know how much we feel we benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You with me? That's what Avram did. Parak of Yisrael, he repaid his debt. Not that his physical debt, but his moral debt. His moral debt was the world was laughing. Look what Hashem did to you. Look what Hashem did to you. It's the opposite. All right? Parak of Yisrael. Okay. I'll stop at least 1 second. My brother was telling me a nice story also. The honor was telling me a nice story. That one year, one of his chassidim made a suicide duck. And he was trying. Rebbe said, "Why did you make so much? Is there anything traumatic that happened that you have to give thanks for?" He said, "Absolutely nothing." He said, "Why are you making so much?
That's why."
He said, "Because last year, you remember, I had a child who was born. That was really a very scary situation. Baruch Hashem, she came out of it, and I made a suda." He said, "Yeah, I remember that." So he said, "So why are you making one this year?" He said, "I'm making suda zada. They don't have to make any more suda zada, right? I'm thanking Hashem. They don't have to make suda zada. I'm grateful for that." The Baruch of things went well, right? But right, I always say that when something goes, I never hear anybody ask, why me, when something good happens to them. Why me? Something bad, say why me. I never hear anybody say why me when something good happens to them. Never, I never hear anybody, right? That's what he was saying. Why me? The Abish said, thank you. You gave me a year without any problems. Thank you for that. And he made a suda for that too. And that's para hakafos of that he came back to pay his debt is both physically and morally. Okay? Ve'elach l'ma'asav mineged, and he traveled from the south. Ad beiskel ad mokam shayisham al haloi betchila ben beiskel lebeina ay. Let's finish this pasuk. El mokam ha-mizbeach asher asa sham rishayna. This is the Rabban that we referred to earlier. He wanted to get back to that earlier mizbeach where he built originally. Asher asa sham rishayna. Va'yikva sham avram b'shem Hashem. Just like Hashem called the name of Hashem earlier, he's calling out the name of Hashem again. So Avram is going back to the base where he built the mizbeach, to that makam of kedusha that he built originally. And so he's just going back. He had to leave it. He had to leave because he felt he had the right to leave. He had the responsibility to leave because of the famine. But now he goes back exactly where he built that mizbeach, because that mizbeach was a place that obviously he spread the name of Hashem, and he's going back to continue his avodah over there. Oh, you know, you guys didn't remind me. I had to sing his mirrors.
Yeah, I
said. How did he say that? All right, but I feel terrible. So we'll just go to the first line. We'll do the first line of Kayach Seif. And I really feel bad because that's my fault. All right? Let's do the first line of Nikolaya and myself. Kayach Seif. But we're going to learn it more in depth next week. All right? I Kayach Seif No Yam Shabbos Next time Belinda will have a siddur. So what you know, the tricky part of this tune is not the tune. It's obviously getting the words to match the tune. So Belinda, next week. Please remind me. I apologize. You got that? Have a great one.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.